Matthew 28, 1 through 15. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say his disciples came during the night and stole him away while he was asleep, while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now? Just between you and God, pray that God would open your heart and soften your heart. Make you good soil for his word. Pray that God would speak to your heart this morning through his word and set you free and build you up. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts and soften their hearts, and that this beautiful, holy scripture would speak to them and change their lives forever? Will you pray now for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully? May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. Heavenly Father, there is nothing I can do. There is nothing any preacher can do. No matter how eloquent we are, no human being has the power to change lives. I stand here totally dependent on your holy scriptures and your Holy Spirit. If anything good and eternal is to be done today, you must do it. So, oh God, when you change lives through your word today, take all credit. Hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Be seated, please. If you're new to Trinity Baptist, and a lot of you are today, let me just give you a 30-second tutorial on how to survive the next few minutes. You want to have your Bible open to Matthew 28, 1 through 15. You want to have some sort of marker in it so that you never leave it. Then you want to be ready, be stretched out, because we're going to be going from scripture to scripture to scripture. If you've got the smartphone, it's all listed right there in a row. You just have to scroll up and you'll be there with me. If you don't have a smartphone, there's a red Bible in front of you. If you have your own Bible, that's better. But there's a red Bible in front of you. It has the same exact words as this one does. Just follow along with me. You can use the table of contents, but you will absolutely need either the Bible on your smartphone or a printed Bible in front of you to follow along. Don't try to follow me without the Bible. At the end of the day, you're going to go, "What was that?" So keep the Bible in front of you. Ask help from someone next to you if you need to. Matthew 28, 1 through 3. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. Early Sunday morning, the women come to anoint Jesus' body, and all heaven breaks loose. There's an earthquake. There was an earthquake when Jesus died. Do you remember? There was an earthquake when Jesus died. There's an earthquake now when Jesus rises from the dead. Listen to Cornelius Lapida quoting him. "The earth, which trembled with sorrow at the death of Christ, leaps for joy at his resurrection." The earth, which trembled with sorrow at the death of Christ, leaps for joy at his resurrection. There is an angel. Angels announce his birth. Angels announce his resurrection. The angel is amazing. He is awesome in appearance. Matthew says his appearance is like lightning, and his clothes are white as snow. The angel rolls away the stone. Why did he roll away the stone? Was Jesus in the grave? "Little help. Somebody roll this away for me, please." No! Why did he roll away the stone? He rolled away the stone not so Jesus could get out, so that you and I could see in. Number 4, verse 4. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The guards are neutralized. They shook and became like dead men. God has decided to act, and all the power of man cannot stop him. That's number 1 in your notes. All the power of man cannot stop God from doing what he wants to do. Job 42:2, "I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted." Verse 5, Matthew 28, "The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay.'" The women are shocked. The women are terrified. The angel says, "Do not be afraid." And then the angel says the most wonderful words in all of history: "He has risen, just as he said." The Lord said he would do it, and he did it. What does that mean? The Apostle John, in Revelation chapter 19, is writing about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Listen to his words. I saw heaven, this is Revelation 19:11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. That is Jesus Christ. Faithful and true. He is risen just as he said. He said he would do it, and he does it. Verse 5 again. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead. And he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." The angel not only announces the resurrection, but he gives the women a job. He says, go and tell the disciples, Jesus is risen. You and I have the same job. You and I have the same job. Number two in your notes, you and I are to commit our lives to spreading the word that Jesus is risen. Listen to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth. You and I are to commit our lives to spreading the word that Jesus is risen. Verse 8. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. The women were afraid, but notice that they are filled with joy. And brothers and sisters of Trinity, this reminds us that our message is a message of joy. Our message is a message of joy. We showed the wedding of Jimmy and Karistina right here. And that was a flight that we made that flight in June. I went in May to Arkansas to see my mother. And I went with my family, my wife and my two children. And I always pray when I'm going to fly. It seems like I fly a lot because my mother lives in Arkansas and I go see her. Whenever I fly, I pray, Lord, please put someone next to me who is open to the gospel. Please put someone next to me who is open to the gospel. I don't say, please put someone next to me who needs to hear the gospel, because that's everybody. I pray, please put someone next to me who is open to the gospel. We fly over, we have a great time with my mom, we're waiting in the airport to fly back. And I get on the plane, and I'm sitting there, and the seat next to me is empty. And this gentleman comes, about my age, and he sits down next to me, and I said, hi, I'm Dave, and he introduced himself to me. And we made chit-chat for a little bit. And then the plane is taxiing down to the runway, and we turn, and we're getting on the runway, and he's really nervous. This is a grown man my age, and he's visibly scared. And I just kind of look over at him, and he says, "I'm sorry, I'm really freaked out about flying." I said, "That's okay." And he says, "You know, it's not that I'm scared of flying. I'm scared to die." And I said, "Really?" And he said, "And it's not really that I'm scared to die. I just don't know what happens next." And I thought, I wonder if I should share the gospel with him. We had the greatest talk, but I had a message of joy. Yeah.
He said, it's not that I'm afraid to die, it's that I don't know what's happening next. And I looked right at him, and I was like almost ready to cry. I looked right at him, and I said, you have sat next to the right person, because I can help you. I can help you. And we talked about Jesus, and we have a message of joy. You do not need to be afraid to share the gospel. You've got what people need. I was sharing the gospel years ago at the church where I grew up, going door to door with one of the dear older lady saints in the church. And man, people did not want to hear the gospel that day. We're going door to door and we're knocking on people's doors, and people are slamming the door and our faces, go away, I don't need you. And the woman became exasperated. And we're walking to the next door, and she says, what's wrong with you people? This is good news. Never forget that. You have a message of joy. Don't be afraid to share it. Don't be afraid to share it. Look at verse 9 in your text, Matthew 28. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. This kind of made me laugh. When you read it in Greek, greetings is simply the word hello. Can't you see Jesus? Hello. It's beautiful. Beautiful. To fall at someone's feet in Jesus' day was what people did for worship or to plead for something. To worship or to plead for something. In Luke chapter 17, Jesus heals 10 lepers. One comes back and throws himself at Jesus' feet and thanks him. These women are so overwhelmed with adoration and joy that they throw themselves at Jesus' feet and worship. They are in the presence of the risen Son of God. And out of adoration and joy, they worship him. Someday, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ and accepted his free gift of salvation, you will come face to face with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when you see Jesus physically, when you see his glorious face, when he smiles at you and says, well done, good and faithful servant. What will your reaction be? What will your reaction be? Will you fall at his feet and worship him? I think you will. Jesus says something, has something to say to them in verse 10. He says, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go into Galilee. There they will see me. Jesus says, go and tell my brothers. I want to show you something really great. Keep your finger in Matthew 28. Turn a couple pages back to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, verse 46. Matthew 12, 46. While Jesus is still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. 12, 47. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. Jesus replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers?
Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." We are Jesus' brothers. They are Jesus' brothers. And he says, "Go and tell my brothers I'm going to Galilee." Verse 11. While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city, reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while he was asleep.'" The religious leaders have a massive, colossal problem. They devoted themselves to getting rid of Jesus, and the grave is empty. The grave is empty. What are they going to do? What do? They bribe the guards. Remember what they said in Matthew 27? When Jesus is on the cross, verse 41, we read this: "In the same way the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him." Jesus on the cross, and they say, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe." So now, they're confronted with the empty tomb. Do they repent? They do not. Instead, they bribe the guards. Jesus is not their God. Money is their God. Money is their God. They use money to try and get what they want. Jesus is the opposite. Jesus is the opposite. I want you to see this. The religious leaders are constantly leveraging the power of money. They need money. They want money. They use money to get what they want. Money is important to them. Jesus is the opposite. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus sends out the disciples for ministry, and he says, "Don't take any money. Don't worry about it." The religious leaders are the opposite. They use money to bribe Judas, and they use money to bribe the guards. Money, money, money. And they're not going to stop there. Look at verse 14. "If this report gets to the governor," they're talking to the soldiers, "if this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." Now, this is conjecture on my part, because the scriptures do not spell this out specifically. The scriptures do not say what it means, "they will satisfy him," but I have a guess. They're just going to bribe people and bribe people and bribe people because money is their God. Verse 15. "So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed, and this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this day." Grave robbing was a very serious offense in that day. You could be executed in Jesus' day for grave robbing. This myth that the disciples had stolen the body was probably already around in Matthew's time. So he includes the truth so that his original readers would know what really happened. What's interesting is this proves that on the third day, the grave was empty. If the grave was not empty, this whole arrangement would not be necessary. But the grave was empty, forcing the religious leaders to bribe the guards and make up this story. What is the significance of Jesus' resurrection? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is alive. Why is that so important? In your notes, number 3 is we have a message of joy for the world. Number 4... The resurrection proves that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Now, I want you to get your fingers ready because we're going to be all over the New Testament from here on out. Turn to Romans chapter 1. The resurrection proves that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Number 5 in your notes, the resurrection proves that Jesus's teaching is true. John said he is faithful and true. He said he would rise from the dead, and he did it. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The resurrection proves that he is. Number 6, the resurrection proves that the Bible is the Word of God. That the Bible is the Word of God. You read the teaching of Jesus Christ. Read the words of Jesus Christ. Read what he said. He quotes the Old Testament over and over and over again, and he says, thus saith the Lord. Jesus says that the Old Testament is the Word of God. Therefore, it is. What about the New Testament? We believe that the New Testament is the Word of God. Why? Because it is the official, authoritative writing of the apostles of Jesus Christ. This is the Jesus book. If Jesus is the Son of God, then this is the Word of God. It all fits together. Number 7 in your notes. Because Jesus rose from the dead, our relationship to God is restored. Listen to Romans 4:25. Just listen carefully. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Justification is God's legal declaration forgiving you. Because Jesus rose from the dead, our relationship to God is restored. Number 8 in your notes. Because Jesus rose from the dead, all those that are united with him are born again. We were dead spiritually, but now we are alive. Be patient with me as I prove this from the Scriptures. Please come with me to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death. In order that, listen, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Turn quickly to Ephesians. These are in order for you in the New Testament, so you can find them easily. Ephesians 2. Verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Quickly to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with a circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. And finally, 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his grace, great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Awesome. Awesome. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we who are his followers have been born again. We have new life, and we have an inheritance kept in heaven. If the stock market crashes, it has zero effect on your riches in Christ. In your notes, number 9, the resurrection proves that Jesus will give us eternal life. Awesome, awesome, life-changing words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 11, verse 25. Would you join me there, please? John 11, 25. Jesus is talking to Martha after Lazarus died, and he says these incredible words, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." The resurrection proves that, people. Jesus promised you eternal life, and when he conquered death, you should go, "Aha! He can do it. He can do it. He can deliver." Number 10 in your notes is tied directly to this. Because Jesus rose again, we will too. We will too. I joked with you last week about all of us being buried at Avenue 52 and Carrie and I rising a split second first. I want to make absolutely clear to you that I do not have any scripture for that. However, wouldn't that be great? We can just all sing together. But what I do have is that we will rise again.
We will rise again. We will be reunited. We will be reunited. 1 Thessalonians 4. Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Many of you have lost loved ones. Praise the Lord. Many of you have lost loved ones that were committed Christian people. And I feel for you. I share your pain. As you know, my father passed away in 2005, and he knew he was dying. And as I stood next to his hospital bed, he said to me, as I was going to go home for the night, he said, David, if I never see you... No, he said, David, if I die tonight, I'll see you later. He would always joke. And again, no scripture for this. See, Michael, you've got me straight now. You know, if you're going to you're gonna disagree, bring your Bible. Okay, no scripture for this. I am now not preaching. Okay. He always would say, he loved chocolate cake. He loved it. Loved chocolate cake. And he would always say, David, in heaven, you and I will have all the chocolate cake we want. No scripture for that. I hope it's true. But no scripture for that. And as he was saying goodbye to me that night, as I'm standing here before you, this is what he said. He said, I'll save you a piece of cake. Faith in the resurrection. Faith in the resurrection. He died on June 21st, 2005, knowing with all of his heart he would rise again. Because the resurrection proves it. Number 11 in your notes, because Jesus rose from the dead, he lives forever to be our Savior, King, and friend. Hebrews chapter 7. Come with me, please, to Hebrews 7, 23. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And finally, number 12, the resurrection means that you should never give up. You should never give up. No matter how hard it is to serve the Lord, you should never give up. 1 Corinthians 15. You've got to backtrack for that one. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? When I see you on that day, when Jesus returns and I come out of my grave and you come out of your grave, this is what I want you to say to me. I want you to come right up to me and I want you to say, Pastor, death has been swallowed up in victory. And I will say the same to you. The sting of death is sin, verse 56, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Keep serving. It's not in vain. I've got one more scripture for you. I've given you good news, good news, good news, good news, good news. But there are some of you here today who have not surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you persist in that unbelief, the resurrection is bad news for you. Acts 17:29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. Why? Repent means to turn from obeying yourself, to turn from disobeying God, to stop doing that, and to turn and accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why should you do that? Verse 31, for He has set a day when He will judge the world with justice by the man He has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Him from the dead. Jesus will return as judge. And if you have not surrendered your life to Him, that will be a horrible day for you. You will suffer in hell for all eternity for the sins that you have committed. Not because I am better than you, because I am not. But I have trusted Jesus to forgive my sins. If you do not have a relationship, a committed, a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, please come talk to an elder after church. The resurrection for those of us who believe in Jesus means life. But the resurrection for those of you that forsake Christ means judgment. Please come and talk to an elder after church.